is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hey, thanks, Will, for coming over to do the intro. Oh, you got to go? Well, your dad's here. He's not going to give you a ride home. You sure you're okay with him just walking home by himself like that?
Yes. Yes, it's fine.
All right. Well, you know, it's your kid. My child.
It never gets old. he's always leaving.
Yeah.
He stops by.
Well, you know, he's five now.
Yeah. Well, not yet.
No? Oh, he's still four? Well.
Soon.
Yeah, 25th. You know, you got to cut the apron strings eventually.
Eventually.
Usually you wait until after the umbilical cord's cut, and then you cut the apron strings. But for you, do it the other way.
Yeah.
You know.
It makes sense. Feels right.
This is JT Foreman, and welcome to episode 77 of Bitter Comics. I'm here with my good friends, Kevin. What are you thinking, Tinkin?
Yes.
And his good friend, JP.
That's affirmative.
Hello.
Hi.
Guys, thanks for coming. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. This is episode 77, so for my insensitivity in episode 76, I would like to apologize to Black People, Vista Prince, Dino Archie, Giant Booties, and Standing Structures.
You offended all standing structures.
All standing
yes,
structures.
I did. I believe right. I was. Sam Stewart was on last episode. I was down in L.A. and we were talking about how the only place you can get good Mexican food is at a taco truck.
Yeah.
And you know, I believe my statement was you cannot find good Mexican food from any standing structure.
Yeah, that's a good place. So.
Have you been to Taco Bell?
Yes.
Whoa. Cinnamon twists.
They do it for me.
Yeah. That sounded dirty, and let's just move. We're going to leave it that way.
Yeah.
If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out episode 76 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website and scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side of the page. There are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or your My Yahoo account, and if you feel I owe any additional apologies, just send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and then the subject line, please say, get me some damn corn.
Some random
corn.
Yes. He was talking about Mexican corn. How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's good.
Thanks a lot for coming.
I gotta
do the show. Appreciate it. Yes.
JP is so impressed by your level of professionalism right now.
Wow.
You have an intro, it feels good.
You actually have a plan.
Yes. Not really. I mean, the intro is really the extent of my professionalism, and you'll notice I didn't actually write out the intro. I just wrote down a list of the things that I'm apologizing to.
No, that's good though.
And if you listen to other episodes, which I'm sure you won't bother. You'll notice that.
That's true. Fair enough.
You'll notice that the first thing I apologize to every time is Black people. So it's I don't even have to write that one down anymore. That's just automatic.
Do you always put them down?
I'm a white guy. I probably owe some Black people an apology for that. Yeah. So now, if I say something bad about Black people, then I have to apologize. And if I don't say something bad about Black people, then I have neglected them, and I have to apologize. So, as a white guy, I always owe an apology to Black people.
There you go.
Feels right.
There you go. So, how's it going?
It's going well.
Anything exciting happening lately? You guys...
I'm sunburnt.
You're sunburnt.
I planted flowers today.
You get wrangled into lawn work by your dad all the time, too?
No, he hooked me up, man. He hooked me up.
That's cool.
He didn't want to just hand me money. And so, he's like, you want to plant some flowers for me? I'll pay you. I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
That took me a while. I tried to do a really good job, which was a mistake.
Yeah. That's always a mistake.
I should have just planted. I was out there for way too long.
No, here's the thing. You don't want to do too good a job because then it hurts your repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do just good enough so that it looks okay, but then it's going to fall apart just after the warranty wears off.
Yes.
And you know, I've always considered the warranty expiration date to be the same thing as a regular expiration date.
Yeah,
because that's when you can expect things to just go. In fact, it's funny. You see the pots and pans that I have on my stove. Mm-hmm. It actually came with a set of five, one of which was a little bit larger frying pan.
Really?
The 6 month warranty that came with it expired like a week and a half ago. And when I was washing the frying pan the day before yesterday, the handle just broke right off.
That's
you can break a frying pan.
Yeah, so just in time ladies. For yeah, ladies.
He's strong.
He's strong like bull.
He's strong and he cooks. That's holy right. crap.
We were talking about before this, as I believe every host, every guest has talked about, is that your blank walls
and yes.
you have no identifying marks in your apartment at all.
No, none whatsoever. You walk in here, you see the couch. You see the, I don't even have a desk. It's just a folding table I bought at Kmart that, you know, that my computer and television are sitting on top of.
It's
that
nice.
Matches the folding table in the kitchen that, my, sound equipment is sitting on. Yeah. You commented earlier that, if someone were to walk in here and not know who lives here, you might think they were an FBI surveillance unit.
Absolutely.
Honest to God, it looks like you're going to get a text message and just grab some stuff and dive out a window at any moment. And we're going to be sitting here like, what's going on? And some dude just storming with guns at our face.
Yeah. Just like, it's get your laptop, hit the self-destruct button, and everything.
It's clean.
Your pans blow up.
Okay, I'll admit it. I'm a spy.
I knew it. The Navy history, you know.
Exactly. Served in the military. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not really that stable, obviously. Yeah.
I'm just a refrigerator with nothing on it, aside from a pizza magnet.
Yeah, it's a magnet for Dougie Fresh Pizza. That's
do you
right.
not, do people not give you pictures? Like, do you
like,
no one's ever given me pictures. There's no lamps. I've got a fan, but I don't have any lamps anywhere.
You know what this is? When you go missing... Like 6 months will go by, and eventually the landlord's going to come in here, and they will have no clue aside from a name who to actually match the body to.
I'm not even sure
to.
Who this guy is.
Yeah. Like, you're going to be found in a river with no ID on you, and they're going to have no clue.
I didn't give them my real name when I moved in here. What are you talking about? I pay my rent in with a money order.
Yeah.
No one can trace me. Yes. Corn swallow.
No, horn swallow.
Horn swallow. Right. Yeah, I like corn swallow better.
The heart hears what it wants to hear. You know?
Horn swallow.
Yeah, man, I'm going to have to send you like a birthday thing or just like a maybe a Christmas card.
Actually, you know what I would like, honestly? I would like one of those like tall lamps, not one that sits on top of a coffee table, but just a tall one that sits on the floor.
Yeah.
Because when I come into the apartment, that light switch that's right next to the door operates the power outlet over there next to the computer. So I had to get an extension cord to plug the computer in at a different one because I kept accidentally turning it off every time I came in, and then I'd have to reset the clock on the TV every time. But if I had one of those tall standing lamps, when I come in,
flip it,
I can turn the light on instead of it being dark in here, and I have to stumble my way to the kitchen to turn these lights on.
How long have you been here?
A little over a year now.
There's this really cool thing.
Stores where I could like buy stuff for my apartment.
They'll exchange currency for products.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the whole barter system's over.
Wave of the
now.
Future.
So really?
Yeah, you could just
it's amazing.
Like, you could go online and be like, tell them like, just put in there the word lamp.
I don't even have to go.
You don't have to leave the
lamp.
House. You could do this. This place could be.
What is this madness of which you speak?
I don't know. I mean, I want to see this place turn into like a major bachelor pad with like glass tables and marble.
Yeah.
Like
hot
out of
the
80s.
With, like,
I tried throwing a party here once, and only like three people showed up. So yeah, you know, I don't see this becoming any kind of big bachelor pad. I don't.
You've said so many sad things.
It really is.
On this party. Nobody sent you a picture. Three people showed up for your party.
I just want to find a bunch of old family pictures and start giving them to them.
Look, you're going to feel sorry for me now? Dude,
no.
The biggest laugh we got at Danny's Roast is when you made fun of the fact that I lost $1,600 on my fucking comedy show. And now you're going to feel sorry for me. Really?
It was a roast.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I did feel bad.
No, you know what? It was a great show.
Yeah.
My timing was horrible. I didn't have enough time to promote it right. All the things that went wrong, honestly, were my fault.
Well,
the things I could have done better, but you know, the show was great, and so although I'm disappointed that I lost money, I was really happy with the show. So,
well,
and you know what? It was funny, and it was a roast, and that's exactly what you're supposed to do. I mean, yeah, that's I don't like the roasts that are on Comedy Central because none of those people know each other.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you go up there and you give a bunch of shit to a total stranger. That's just mean, but you know
about their has-been career.
Yeah, exactly. But you go and you're making fun of your friends. That's what a roast was for. You watch all those Dean Martin roasts.
Yeah.
All those people knew each other. They hung out together in Vegas all the time. They were all good friends, and so they all knew not to take it personally when when they were doing all that.
Sammy Davis Jr.
And
Dino. He relaxed to hit the sauce.
I didn't know I had a Sammy Davis Jr. impression inside of me, but it was it wanted to come out.
He likes to hit the sauce. He also likes to hit the guy who makes the sauce. And he likes to hit the guy who serves the sauce. And he likes to hit everyone else, too. He just likes hitting people.
it's less of a roast than it is just a list of things that he's bad about. It's
more of an intervention than a roast.
Yeah.
Yes. Here we have. It's not really a roast. It's more like the list that St. Peter's going to read to you as an explanation as to why you don't
why
get
you're
in.
Going to hell,
dude. This guy JP. He says he'll start a story with, dude, you gotta hear this, and then I'll be like, whatever. And then the next follow-up will be something like, before he'll tell me the story, and I don't have a specific story in mind, I've just heard this before, he goes, my film's going to get a lot longer.
Yeah.
And he's referring to the film that they're going to watch when they're standing outside the gates of heaven, as to all the reasons.
I think even if you do have a chance at getting in heaven, you still have to watch the film.
Yeah, probably. I hope it is exactly like Defending Your Life. Remember that movie, Defending Your Life, Albert Brooks?
Great movie.
The guy ends up in the waiting area, and he's there for a few days, and he has to spend 3 days with a three-judge panel.
Oh, my gosh.
Watching video of what happened in his life, and he's got to defend his life
to
explain why they should let him move on to the next stage of existence. If either of my two listeners have never seen that movie before, you should listen to it. It's really great.
It's legit. It keeps getting sad. You keep bringing back the sadness.
Well, you know, it's funny. A couple episodes ago, I had Danny Minch on here. I don't know. Do you ever listen to my podcast?
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of episodes.
Did you listen to the one before last where Danny Minch was on and he was talking a bunch of smack about a headliner that he worked with?
No.
Okay, well, he didn't give the person's name. And he only spent actually like 2 or 3 minutes complaining about that. But apparently someone who does listen to the podcast then called that headliner, told him that Danny was saying the stuff about him. And then he calls me and is like, well, I heard Danny was talking about me on my podcast. And I was like, wait, someone listens to my podcast?
You're all excited. Good feeling, yeah.
I was like, yes, that's awesome. I've got a listener, someone who knows. Cool. Yeah. So...
Was the listener someone that you know?
Yes, it was. Actually, I found out who it was later, and I'm like, dude, why did you feel the need to... You know, I haven't talked to him about it, but I don't understand why he felt the need to then call everyone involved in the situation.
Instigator.
I was like, you know what? No one listens to my podcast. If you'd have just kept your mouth shut, this all would have died, and nobody would... Now everyone's all mad. Well, not everyone's all mad, but it's... It has started unnecessary drama.
It's fun. It's interesting to talk about your friends and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, did you hear about Samantha? Yeah.
No, actually, I didn't.
She got an abortion.
She got six of them last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the same guy.
And then, like, if you didn't know Samantha, that wouldn't be interesting to you. But then you'd see her, and then like the next time me and you like we'd see her, and she'd be wearing like fishnet stockings, and be like, we'd both lock eyes and be like. She's at it again. You know what I mean? So I get it. It's not right.
Isn't it kind of off-putting, though? Like, there could be people you don't know listening to this right now.
No, actually, there's people in the audience I don't know every time I go up and I tell jokes.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
this is more personal, though.
No, I don't think it is.
You're in somebody's ear right now.
I talked about...
Somebody's eating, like, cereal in their nightgown.
I talk about the time I lost my virginity in my act. I I will say anything. And, you know, it's I don't have that much concern for my privacy. You know, people might say I should. Yeah. But, you know, I don't expect to run for president anytime soon.
Yeah. Still, we could literally be, like, in somebody's life right now.
Yeah.
That none of us know.
Well, you know, I work at the IRS. I do data entry, and some of the other people at work listen to my podcast while they're working, mm-hmm. and you know they've said to me that they laugh out loud while listening to it.
A literal
on occasion, yes, a literal LOL.
That's nice.
So you know, and that honestly, that kind of feedback is great. You know, it's I love that I'm entertaining people. That's what I want to do. I mean, if it were up to me, I would be doing this podcast for a living, or I'd be doing stand-up comedy for a living. I like making people laugh. I love doing it. It's you know, when I'm on stage and a crowd is enjoying my performance, that's the real joy in my life. You know. Yeah. But we're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with my good friends Kevin Tinkin and my new friend JP.
Holla.
We are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Kevin Tinkin and JP. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so you guys are both married.
Yes.
We're old and married?
You guys are both married. Oh, yeah. You're not old. Remember, you're only old as the one you feel. So however old your wife is, that's how old you are.
You're just feeling old people.
Are you feeling old people?
I'm like at a nursing home. I'm 80.
You're only as old. Why are you here?
Where's Jackson?
Old still, Grandma.
Please remove your hand from that, and I don't see what this has to do with my root canal anyways.
I'm watching the train drive away, and I'm waving, going, I wish I was there.
I have no idea what that means either. Okay, so, Kevin, how long have you been married?
9 years.
9 years. And JP, how about
11
you?
Years.
11 years. High school sweethearts, men in college.
I met in college. They were.
Yeah, high school.
Oh, so, how did you know this is the one? Was it like immediately as soon as you met him, or a feeling you got over time, or?
Yeah, I grew up in the church and whatnot, and.
I wouldn't say super Christy, but definitely a very religious person.
Yeah, I'm definitely a.
Super Christy would be like, here's the Bible. You're all going
to hell if you don't repent right now. Yeah. Get on your knees wherever you are. Find a mat. Get down and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner and I'm going to hell and I need you, Jesus. That's not me.
No. But although you do it very well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you could, good. You could probably make quite a good living.
I could. Call in right now. I have a blessed washcloth and a pita pocket that you can get for $47 a piece. Thank you for giggling. I'm definitely Christ-leaning, and it's been a big part of my life. And so,
well, they have kosher salt. Why not Christian salt?
Because we got grace. We don't need them. We just we'll take whatever we got.
Wait, yeah. Grace, is that fitting a salt shaker too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Absolutely.
What section of the seasoning aisle is that on? Yeah. Okay, so you met her at church, or
I met her at church. I saw her at church, and I thought she was smoking hot. I thought she was older than me, just because she looked more sophisticated. And again, we were like 17, we were 18, so you know, her looking older meant she looked like she was 23 or something. And I was like, oh, an older lady. And so like I didn't say anything to anybody, and then my buddy Nick was just like, dude, that Jenny Johnson, man, she's looking good. And I was like, yeah, like, but dude, you're too old for her, bro, because he's a few years older than I was. And when you're 18 and somebody's, you know, 22, you're going like, it's 4 years. Like, I was in junior high when you were in high school.
I have an interesting story about that. Well, I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay. Don't forget it. So he went out with her. He asked her out while she was kind of talking to me, and I just was kind of like silently not saying anything or whatever. And then on their date, she told him that she liked me.
Mm.
And then he called me and was like, if we weren't friends and we weren't church friends, this is the kind of thing that a guy would kick another guy's butt over. And I was like,
she likes you, so he has to beat you up.
He thought that I like went behind his back and like was like macking on her for back, lack of a better term. Well, so then I dated her.
I do have to say that it was very, very unkind of her to make him buy her dinner and then tell her, tell him
coffee.
Okay, coffee. All right. Well, you know, coffee, I'll let that go.
He did buy her her favorite CD still to this day, and she has it still.
Boys to the Men number two.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Dude, I wish. Oh, I wish I'll Make Love to You was in her top ten. That would put me in a special zone.
Yeah, it's like when a woman says to me, "Can we be friends?" I'm like, "No."
No, we cannot. No, I don't have female friends.
My friends would have bought their own dinner.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
if you're really my friend, you wouldn't let me waste that much cash when you knew I wasn't getting laid.
This is true.
That's horrible. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So when I realized that I thought that she might be legit, again, very a spiritual person, especially you know, back then, I was just very. There was no second guessing spirituality in Christ and the Bible and everything. It was very much just absolutely. This is true. Of course.
Okay.
And I was reading, you know, through the Bible. Proverbs 31 talks about the characteristics of a godly woman, and so. I opened up my Bible to Proverbs 31, and I looked at all the things that they talked about as a what a godly woman is and what the kind of woman you'd want to marry would be. And then I wrote down all the characteristics of Jenny, and I did like a Venn diagram. And I was just like, gosh, she has a lot of these characteristics, and she's smoking hot. And so then I told her, I was like, hey, you're the one.
So let me get this straight. Smoking hot is not one of the characteristics of a godly woman?
No.
That was just kind of a bonus.
Well, I'm shooting for 60, 70 years.
Okay.
So, you know, as long as she's not, you know, the only thing about attractiveness that's relevant when you're looking in the long term is weight, you know, because she could die earlier.
Well, for that, you look at her parents and grandparents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if
her mom was a good looking lady.
So all right. Well, there you go.
It's like that Beastie Boy song, Boomin' Granny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I tried. I remember consciously trying to make an unemotional, unsexually driven decision, so that I wouldn't get sick of her.
That is the least romantic description of love.
Well, I was in love with her cognitively and emotionally and spiritually and in every way.
It's creepy.
Am I too far away?
Yeah, just a little bit closer. All right, I was trying to like signal you so we wouldn't actually, you know, say. On the show, get close to the microphone because that'd be really kind of unprofessional.
Yeah,
and you know, JP was talking about what a professional show I'm doing, and it just ruined everything.
I apologize.
No, I want to not renege. What's that? Retract my
It's
former
a
statement.
Re-African.
Re-African.
No,
sorry.
You're gonna re-African American. We're not reneging it. We're re-African American.
I was just talking about the Bible. I feel like I had to balance it out a little bit with saying something crazy. That felt good. And in the times when I felt like, gosh, I don't know what we're doing. Like what, you know?
And that's maybe. The kind of reason. That's the kind of thing that I say that makes me have to apologize to black people at the beginning of every episode. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
So I'm sorry.
So in the times when marriage gets hard and marriage isn't easy. I can always fall back on those characteristics that really won't change, you know, because I'm not just with her because, you know, she's good at doing the hurdles or something, and now she, like, has no legs, and so I have to, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, yeah. You were looking for...
qualities, not
someone that you were going to be able to tolerate in the long term.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she really liked me, and that was important.
Well, that helps. That definitely does help. A problem with my relationship: my girlfriend doesn't seem to like me very much. But yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Podcast. That's actually not true. She does like me. It's weird because when we're talking in conversation, she'll laugh all the time, but she just doesn't think my stand-up comedy is funny at all.
You have to write when you're with her. Just have a notebook.
And well, you know,
she giggles, write it down, and see if it'll work on stage.
Well, here's the thing, is that she has laughed at things that I've said to her that I have then written down and put into my set and gotten laughs on stage. But when she saw me say it on stage, she didn't think it was funny. Yeah. When we're sitting in the car driving and I said it to her, she laughed.
Right.
I think it's just that she is really uncomfortable with any kind of attention being drawn to her.
Sure.
And the fact I'm on stage means that everyone is looking at her in her mind.
Hmm.
Because she's there with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And so, you know, I'll just have to hide her backstage or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Put her in a burka.
So, yeah, that's how it went down. And I asked her before I married her, you know, if it was just me and you living in the bed of my truck and there's no homeless guy in there, are you down? Is that cool? Are you okay with just me and you, bed of our truck?
What if there was a homeless guy? Did you talk to her about that? Because
I think that would be a deal.
You know, I mean, if you're just out in the middle of nowhere, or, you know, if you're just in the back of the bed of your truck out in town somewhere, it's entirely possible some homeless guy is going to crawl in.
This is true.
And he may take a dump.
He might.
That's the limits of your relationship right there.
Yeah, that will test.
It's like, all right, the homeless guy can sleep in there with us, but not he can't take a dump.
Yeah. So, yeah, so then she said, I'm down if it's just me and you. And I said, cool.
Cool.
So, yeah. I liked it, so I put a ring on it.
Liked it, so he had to put a ring on it. Mm-hmm. Right, so, JP, you've been married for 11 years. 11 and years. You were high school sweethearts, you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
So how'd that work out?
Well, I guess. I mean, how'd it work out? No, it was good.
Good so far.
Thus far. You know, it's funny. While Kev was talking, you know, because I come from a church background also, and I could say a lot of those kind of similarities.
Mm.
I definitely, and this is going to sound weird, but as a young kid, I remember thinking, wow, this is someone I could potentially marry. And so I remember being like, whoa, don't screw this up. Like, oh, don't go too far, you know.
Yeah.
That's going to be my wife one day, you know. Which at the time, I was like, wow, that's weird that I would even think like that.
Well, no, that thought right there is one of the reasons that I waited so long to even bother really trying to find a relationship.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to, and I don't think you meant it this way, but this is kind of how I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in a relationship with someone that I have to be walking on eggshells around them at all times. You talked about
yes
you didn't
no.
want to screw this up.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm a teacher, so I work with high school students all the time. And, you know, I'll see these girls just in these, you know, panic moments. Like, oh, he's cheating on me, or he doesn't love me, or whatever the deal is. And oftentimes I'll just say, hey, is this the person you're going to marry?
Yeah.
And, you know, they always kind of beat around
God,
the bush
no.
and all this stuff. And they don't want to say no instantly. But the second, oftentimes when you ask someone that's in, like, a real relationship, you know, more than, like, a week, are you going to marry this person? I'm not saying today, but I'm saying, is this someone who you could for sure marry? And the answer is 99% of the time, well, no. Because of this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always, what are you wasting your time on?
Yeah.
And the kids always like get insulted by that. But I'm like, no, you're wasting your time. Because there's so many people out there who are just dating casually, but they don't have this mindset of, you know, this could potentially be someone that I have for the rest of my life. For better, for worse, living in the back of my truck.
Well,
and
maybe
if
that
you can't.
Maybe that is what they're looking for. Maybe they're not looking to get married. They're just looking for someone to have a good time with.
Then why would you bother even getting emotional when they're?
Yeah,
you know. I mean, like that's what we say.
Even
as guys,
okay.
as guys, our culture we're always like, oh yeah, hook up with this chick, this, that, and the other thing. But if that were really what was going on, I don't think we'd have the same responses to, you know, what is love and what do I have to, you know, there's always these emotional connections
that
just happen.
Whether you intend to stay with the person forever ever or not, or whether you even think it would be a possibility, regardless of the circumstances, being lied to hurts.
Sure.
I mean, you know, no matter what it is, and when you make any kind of a commitment with someone and then you find out that they've gone back on it. That feeling sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you're
a downer.
Sorry.
It's a real funny podcast. Thanks for having me on.
We go
slit my wrist now.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So you're a high school teacher.
Yep.
What grades? Generally seniors or juniors or freshmen?
I teach all high school at a small charter school downtown. So 9 to 12.
Okay.
9 to 12th grade. I do history. So.
Oh, cool, cool.
World history, U.S. history, government, and economics.
History was always my favorite classes.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. I really...
Nerd alert.
I really...
teach it.
Well, you know, I never got the greatest grades in it because I could never remember dates. You know, I could tell you that, you know, the Revolutionary War was before the War of 1812, which was before the Civil War.
Yeah.
But if you asked me the exact date that every one of these things started and ended, I couldn't remember that.
And that's the thing, like, when we were young, they actually had you learn names and dates and stuff.
Yeah.
Zero times, and I can honestly tell you this, never, ever once all year did you really need to know a date.
Yeah.
And there was a handful of names that you had to know kind of in context, because when you look at actual what history is, the date isn't important as much as the time period, like the frame. Yeah,
because the such order a that things context. Happen is yeah. what's important. Not I mean,
you
this
should know
date,
Civil War was roughly 150 years ago.
Yeah.
But the fact, you know, 1861 to 1865, well, that's stupid. That who gets caught up on dates? Like, don't waste that. You're better off learning what was going on socially in those time periods and just kind of like big themes. Because, I mean, history is nothing if any. I think the basis of history, at least, is to be able to make sense of what life is, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can do that, like, life makes a lot more sense. But people get so nerded out on, well, in 1864, this is what was going on. Right. You know,
It feels like that's like a symptom of the No Child Left Behind Act, just kind of that sliding scale. We're like, every kid needs to know this. And then they're going like, well, what do they need to know? Well, they need to know, well, like, dates. And then they talk to a kid, and they're like, what's happening on this day? They're like, I don't know. They're like,
that's all on its way out right now. Yeah. Though,
well, you can't. You
is
can't,
it really?
Yeah.
You can't design one of those Scantron tests.
Yeah.
That asks you about the themes that were going on in society.
Well, that's what.
But you can ask questions about the dates.
What's the new move?
Well, the new phase, they call it Common Core, and it's starting over the next couple of years all over the country, and that's the thing. Like it, the tests are all geared at taking more time. There is no such thing starting in a couple years as like a Scantron, not even used.
Whoa.
So you've got three different kinds of test questions.
I can still hear the sound of the Scantron running through the machine.
And it just clicks.
And with every time a red mark was put next to an incorrect answer.
So I can know,
answer,
like, if it's
I
a
can
smart
still
kid,
hear
you
that.
You don't even have to look at the names. You just hear the clicks going through.
You just hear the click, click. Okay, that was Joel. Click, click. That was Bill. That was Sally.
Yeah.
Okay, so
stupid old Sally.
They don't. The Scantrons now, they figured this out. But back in the day when we were in high school, one of the kids figured this, and he showed me. At the top of the Scantron, they have a little thing that says key. And you, the teachers, like when I want to grade them, so I've got this big stack of Scantrons, I make a Scantron test that has all the correct answers, and I mark key, and I run it through first.
Yeah.
And that tells the machine, you know, A, C, 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 D.
Yeah.
And then everyone after that is just going off of my key. Well, if you would, on your own test,
mark key on yours, it resets it.
It resets it so you get them all right, but everyone after you is going off of your key.
Yeah.
So we were able a couple of times.
That's brilliant.
But the trick is you got to get yours on pretty much the very bottom. Because if you put it towards the top, odds are better that the teacher's going to figure this out, because smart girl who always gets A's all of a sudden is like failing it.
You
got to get it towards the bottom or on the very bottom, best case scenario, because it makes a little sound when you rekey it. Like it has like a different kind of a thing. But you're thinking she runs 150 of these things through real quick. The last one makes a different sound. She doesn't notice.
That's like some Ferris Bueller Day Off.
I never told anyone about that on purpose because I didn't want my use of it to get found out.
There you go.
With great power
and
comes great responsibility.
I have to say I'm really a little upset with you for letting the cat out of the bag here now.
Well, we don't use
Of course I'm
now,
not
though,
in school anymore, so it doesn't. No, it's something I've realized is that if you find something cool, keep your damn mouth shut, because if you tell anyone about it, it'll get ruined.
I desperately hope someone with like the Board of Education gets a copy of this and like pull up all of his records.
Let's see what Joel Foreman really did when he was at Clovis High. Oh my gosh.
Revoking.
You think they still have all those
little red stamp?
You know, it would be worth it just to make them go through and hand grade all of my old Scantrons if they still have them.
Oh, they don't.
It would be funny though. We're gonna take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Kevin Tinkin and JP.
Yep.
We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with JP and Kevin Tinkin. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right. So I was bugging you guys about How You Met Your Wives. You guys, 11 years for JP, 9 years for Kevin. I'm 41, so like 8 or 9 years older than both of you.
Yeah.
Currently in my first long-term relationship.
Mm.
And never been married. Now,
let's just go for it, man.
Well, you know, it's, you guys.
Let's do it.
We're talking earlier about how my apartment is so sparse. Mm-hmm. And, it looks like I just got here.
Yeah.
Honestly, God, I thought you might still be moving in or something. Like you haven't opened up the box with all your pictures and whatnot.
Yeah. No, I don't have a box with pictures. I don't have. Books. I don't even own any of that stuff. But you know, I look at my parents' house, and they've got stuff. It looks lived in, but it also looks like a mess.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that they're messy. I'm just saying there's all kinds of stuff, and it just I don't know what it is about it, but it. Whenever I go to someone's house and I see the walls are full with pictures and there's things all over the place, it feels like this is going to sound like I'm insulting you. I don't mean fake. It that way. It feels like they gave up. It's like I'm never gonna move on to anything better than this.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm not living in a one-bedroom apartment by myself for the rest of my life.
That's a fair argument for why everything's so sparse in here, though. Because you hope for more.
Yeah, and I don't know how long I'll be living here, and it just feels like a waste of time to spend a lot of time decorating it when, for all I know, I'll be gone in a month and a half.
I mean, have you ever hammered a nail into a wall? Oh.
It's tough. Like
4 hours.
Well, it's not that. Well, another thing is the fact that if I were to hammer nails in the walls to hang pictures, then when I try to leave, there's even less likely of a chance that I'll get any of my security deposit back.
Good point.
Yeah.
But, it's funny. When I moved in, the landlady told me, oh, no, we give security deposits back to people all the time. I was like, I have never even heard of anyone getting their security deposit ever. Back from an apartment or a house they're renting ever. I've never, even not part of it, not some of it, not a dollar of it. I've never even heard of that happening.
It's just a way for apartment managers to learn how to be really creative for reasons as to why they can't give it back.
Yeah.
And like, well, there's a lot of soap scum in the bathtub, so that's at least $1,000 right
there.
Yeah,
at least.
My soap scum guy is real pricey.
Yeah. Well, we had to hire someone to come in and clean after you guys left. I said, well, you're required by law to do that anyway, so why are you charging me for it? Well, we had to come in and repaint the place. Well, you're required by law to repaint the place after someone if they live there more than a year. So why are you charging me for things that you're supposed to be doing anyways?
And boom.
Yeah, so.
In your face.
In your face.
But Kevin, you do a you guys actually both of you do a podcast of your own called Nantucket Avenue.
Yeah.
Kevin, you recently did an episode with your cat.
I did.
Which I have to say that Mr. Henry?
Hank.
Mr. Hank. I'm sorry. Mr. Hank.
Henry's his
that's the Christian name. Mr. Hank is a nickname.
Yes.
Your cat Mr. Henry. Wasn't very talkative.
Mr. Hank. He got a little mouthy at the end, but
meow. I did hear a couple of light meows in there.
Yeah, he gave me a little flack at the end.
But he couldn't focus, I guess, on.
He was pissed. He'd had enough. He's like, dude, why are you sharing all my dirty laundry with the world right now? Talked about his amputated tail.
Yeah. Showing his butthole to everybody all the time.
Just like, well, if you're so great, why does everybody get to see your butthole all the time? Like, I feel like that's the worst.
Yeah. Waking up to the brown eye, that's always nice.
Yeah, no, he doesn't stay, he doesn't usually stay in our area. He usually is outside or in the laundry room. You know what I'm saying?
Henry is a really, he's an awesome cat.
He is
awesome. But he is the most annoying cat on earth.
Well, he'll just like you when I drive up to my house.
Oh my gosh.
Meow, meow.
You are
meow,
assaulted.
And he wants
from the bushes.
He wants you to pet him, and then he wants you to let him in, and then he wants you to turn on the sink in the bathroom so he can drink from it. From the faucet, not to fill up the bowl, but from the
he
faucet.
He wants to drink from the faucet.
Yes, and then you sit there and
that's kind of cool, actually.
On a
I have to say.
It is kind of cool.
He
on
is
a,
fat, too.
If you could somehow teach him to turn the faucet on, though, that would be awesome.
That would be.
Is it one lazy. That's a lever? Is it one that has a lever that a cat might be able to turn on with his paw, or is it a dial that you have to grab?
You have
a
to have
of?
Opposable thumbs. And
oh, okay. Well, you need to replace the sink handles. If you have the dial that you have to grab and turn, get rid of that thing. thing and replace it with you know, the longer levers that a paw would be able to just push it.
You need a motion sensor that just has a little...
Yeah, that would be legit.
Yeah, that's true. You just get the motion sensor. Yeah. You know, the ones where in the public restrooms, because we're not responsible enough to control the water flow. Yeah. And get one of those for your cat.
I actually do a couple extra ones just because.
There you go.
It would work. Yeah, so he'll do Democrats. That. And then and then he wants me to go in and put food in his bowl. And yeah, but he's a lover. When we went to the rescue center, he was the one going, meow, meow. And then he literally reached out and was hitting me because we were looking for an orange cat for some reason. Mm. I think because my wife's a redhead and I like redheads. But
it was reaching through and hitting you. It's like, Hank. Well, you know, this is the one trying to abuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the way we need to go with this.
He really earned it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like if I went to an orphanage and there was one kid that was, like, not like, dressed up, because they wouldn't all have, like, the ability to go buy nice clothes. But, like, you can tell that he cleaned up in the sink. Yeah. And then, like, he's made his own tap shoes with, like, thumbtacks and his old Vans.
Shine your shoes, governor.
Yeah.
I just want to go home with you.
His raggy shirt with the patches in the elbows are ironed with military creases. It's like, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to take that.
He wants it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Mr. Hank, he really earned it, so.
All right, cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, that episode was, it turned into something that I didn't think it was going to turn into. Because I was just rambling, and so what was in my brain just came out, I had been accused of being offensive for even because I talked about homeless people.
Well, first of all, I do want to say one question that you asked during the podcast was, "Is poop funny?" And I have to say that yes, absolutely, poop is funny, and poop is not offensive. Shit is offensive,
right?
To some people, if they don't like swearing.
Yeah.
Crap can be offensive, but honestly, I don't think it is, because that was actually the name of one of the guys who invented the indoor toilet. His name was Crapper.
Yeah.
I do not believe that crap is offensive.
Okay.
I personally don't think shit is offensive either, because people refer to everything that they own as shit or crap sometimes.
Right. Yeah,
leave my shit alone, leave my crap alone. So yeah.
My family said crap growing up a lot, and then I would say it in the company of other people, be like, excuse me, we don't use that language around here. And I'm like, what, crap? Oh, you're hurting my ears.
Yeah, so, I still don't really understand the visceral response that some people have to swearing. Now, I don't like it when someone is F this, F that, F these, F those, because I think that words are a tool.
Yes.
And they should be used properly. And if someone is just F to everything, then you have eliminated its meaning.
Right.
There are situations when saying the F word is appropriate.
Right.
But
only in literal use it all senses. The time.
Well, it's situational.
Yeah.
It's
just when somebody's like, oh, F, man, like, effing, like, dude, me and my bro was like,
my effing like, dog was like, effing this, and I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. And I sound like a preacher right now.
The movie The Bodyguard, you saw that, right? Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. Okay. I was visiting my aunt, and she's what I would describe her as a super Christie.
Okay.
I believe she goes to an evangelical church. She lives in Alabama. Mm-hmm. We rented The Bodyguard one night when I was there, and we're watching it. It's PG-13, which means if you're familiar with how the rating system works, you can say fuck once in a PG-13.
Okay.
And it not had twice, one though. Fuck in it.
Not twice, though.
Yeah, now no, this is twice. Rated R.
Yes, this is now rated R. I do put an explicit tag on my podcast.
Yeah,
in case.
Yeah.
But after Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner have sex, the next morning, you see Kevin Costner, he's getting dressed, putting a suit on and everything, and Whitney Houston is sitting there, and he's saying, you know, we can't do this. I'm here to protect you. I can't be in a relationship with you like this. It's distracting from...
You're black and I'm white.
No, it was not about... It wasn't about race. It was about the fact that he's trying to be her bodyguard, and it would be too distracting.
Okay, good.
And he's saying, look, I can work for you, I can protect you, and then she said, but you can't fuck me. I think that is an appropriate use of the word fuck, because it's describing the actual act, and it was expressing her anger at the situation that this person that she really cares for is...
She uses that act in a really visceral, vulgar sense. And you can kind of get what she's saying, what she's going through.
It's the best definition of the word. I mean, it's the best use of the word. Yeah.
But my aunt looked like someone had just punched her in the stomach.
Yeah.
After hearing that word.
Yeah.
And just, I can't believe Whitney Houston would say that. I was like, wait a second. She's married to Bobby Brown. Yeah. Bobby Brown, and they smoke crack together. You can't believe she said the F word? Really?
In an interview, Whitney Houston specifically said she does not smoke crack.
I'm sure she doesn't.
When asked, anyway, she said, I make too much money to smoke crack. I use cocaine.
Okay.
You have to wait for the timing on that one, Joey. You gotta wait for the JP.
All right. Yeah, she's into the designer drugs. All right. Yeah, that's fine. Right. Either way, though, I mean, I can't believe Whitney Houston would say something like that.
Whitney Houston's playing a character that did say that. Yeah, it's not her.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if it is her, right. You know, but the thing with my aunt's reaction, I don't understand. I don't understand being that viscerally. She looked like she was. I thought it physically hurt her. She looked like someone punched her in the stomach.
Right.
When she heard Whitney Houston say, "Fuck."
Right.
And that has always seemed insane to me.
Yeah. I mean, no. I remember at some point in my life, really holding hard to this mentality, which is that there are things in your life that make you weak as a human being. Like, if I needed to climb a fence right now, I couldn't do that because I'm fat. That makes me weak. If I wanted to spend some time out in the sun for a long time, I couldn't do it. That makes me weak. If I was a person that was offended by language, it would mean that I couldn't be around people that spoke it with that language.
Yeah.
And that would make me weak. You know what I mean? And so I'm very libertarian in my view of that type of stuff. You know, if you... I mean, all throughout high school, junior high, gosh, I mean, up to now, I would always be the guy in the room with everybody getting just stoned out of their mind, and I would be the guy that would just be like there, and I would, my Christian friends would be like, I can't believe you're hanging out with Doug. And I'm like, why? Well, Doug's a big pothead. Okay. Well, you are your friends. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not. You know,
you're not your friends.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I am. But that doesn't mean I do everything. Just because I'm hanging out with you doesn't mean all of a sudden we're going to wear blue shirts all day, every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you're describing, how your Christian friends were reacting, is one of the things that bugs me most about Christians, honestly. Yeah. I mean,
am I projecting again? Too? No. I don't have a specific instance where this happened, but it was
I get the point, though. It's the judgmentalness that I see with a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's wrong to judge. I think it's, you have to make judgments. Otherwise, how can you make a decision?
Yeah. Well, biblically,
but I think you're not supposed to automatically condemn people.
Right.
For mistakes that they make or things that they do that you don't like. Right. But we're going to take one last break real quick. This is JT Foreman here with Kevin Tinkin and JP. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Kevin Tinkin and JP. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, I was talking about being judgmental of people.
Yeah.
The main thing that you talked about on the last episode of your podcast was about people being offended.
Yeah,
and expand on that, if you don't mind.
Well, I said homeless people I talked about homeless people. I didn't say homeless people were bad, anything like that. And I was told that it was offensive because there were some people in the audience that had been homeless at one point, and I got a phone call, and the phone call was very much just like, hey, as a brother in Christ, I just want to let you know, like, you offended some people. And my response was, well, gosh, I know you wouldn't just call just to make me feel bad. Like, you've got to have some advice, like, so this doesn't happen again. Like, you wouldn't just call just to be like, hey.
By the way, you're a jerk.
Yeah, you should feel bad about yourself. And he was like, well, I'm not the comedian, you know. And I'm going, so you literally just called and whatnot.
So he literally just called to tell you that you're a bad person.
Yeah, and I'll say two things. So
the Christian thing to do.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Like coming from a biblical Christian viewpoint, you know, Christ came to give grace, right? He came to abolish the law and fulfill the law. You know, And the people that were trying to be perfect were the Pharisees. And he called those people whitewashed tombs, basically saying that they were dead inside, but they looked real good on the outside.
Yeah.
But what was on the inside was just rotten death. It was a tomb. It was a dead body.
Oh, tombs.
Tomb,
okay.
Sorry, yeah.
I thought you said tunes, so that doesn't make any sense at all.
Whitewashed tunes, some real old jazzy stuff, and that was horrible. So from a biblical...
You apologize to jazz now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So from a biblical standpoint, I'm going, where is your grace in this, you know, and where is your building up of a brother?
Did you say this to him when they called?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. I have to say that I wish the reasonable Christians would talk down the crazy ones a little more often.
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah.
I really appreciate you policing your own like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm an atheist, mm-hmm. and when I talk to an atheist who's like, oh, people who believe in God, they're just stupid. No, I shout them down when they say stuff like that. No, they're not stupid.
Yeah.
They have an idea of something they believe that you and I think is incorrect, but that doesn't mean they're stupid.
Sure.
You can be wrong and not be stupid, and right. I could be wrong and not be stupid. Right. But
well, the fact that you can say
I appreciate that you
And the fact that you can say that you might be wrong means that you're probably more of an agnostic than an atheist.
Well, here's the thing. Atheist means all atheist means is I don't believe there's a God.
Right.
It doesn't mean there's no God.
It does, though.
No, it does not. It means I don't believe there's a God.
Okay.
But you could be wrong. Oh, of course I could.
That's agnostic.
You could be wrong. Yeah, everyone could be
agnostic.
Wrong.
That's the definition of agnostic.
No, that's not agnostic. Agnostic is... agnostic is a discussion of what religion you believe in, not whether or not you think there is a God.
Agnostic means, well, if you might believe it's true, and that's okay for you, but I don't believe there's a God.
That's not correct. When someone says they're agnostic, it means that they don't believe in religion. When someone says they're atheist, it means they don't believe in God.
All
right. They're two separate questions, and one that people get those things confused all the time. And it's something I can never get people to get straight.
I'm glad you're here to correct.
Well,
hey, and if that's true for you, that's fine.
Well, see, then there you go. That's true for you. See, you realize how condescending you sound when you say that. Almost as condescending as I sound
as your aunt.
When I say
there God. Yeah,
exactly. Well, see, I'm not saying there is no God. I'm saying I don't believe in God. I mean, of course, I could be wrong. You could be wrong. Are you willing to admit that you could be wrong?
Absolutely.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah.
So, you're not really a believer because you admit that you could be wrong. Well, of course you're a believer.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't believe there is, and I could be wrong. You can't really know, 100% know anything.
Absolutely. That's why that's called faith.
So, well, okay, that's fine. But my not believing in God isn't faith-based. If someone came along with evidence that there was a God, I would change my mind. Now, the God that I read about in the Bible, I would fight against him. Sure. I would lose, but I would fight against him because he does some evil stuff.
But there isn't that kind of a faith thing to say that there's no possibility of a God?
I didn't say there was no possibility of a God. Of course it's possible.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. Anyone says I'm willing to say I know there's... I know. To what degree do you know?
Right.
You know, so I'll say that I know there isn't a God, but it's not 100%. I would say, you know, 90, 95, 96. I don't, I don't know how to calculate that number.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, but I could be incorrect. I'm not perfect.
My faith is pretty much lived out in just trying to, you know, and I don't get real concerned with all the rules and whatnot because, you know, frankly, I tried to do that for a long time, and I was just sad because I realized I wasn't perfect.
Wow.
You know, and then I just had to be like, well, grace exists for a reason. You know, according to the Bible, and I need to rest in grace. And I think about more. I think about less. What do I believe, and more? How do I act? What should I do? And that's why I try to focus on, you know, trying to be encouraging. trying to be a good friend. Yeah. You know, love people, because that's what Jesus pretty much said to do. You know, just love people. And I think as a comedian, that's a pretty cool thing. And I don't, I mean, and that's just me justifying me being a comedian. But I think as a comedian, to make people laugh and give them joy is probably one of, that's a great gift.
You know what I mean? It is. And I wish I had discovered my ability to do it a lot sooner.
Oh, me too.
I think it would have made my life better. You know, I was pretty directionless for a long time. And then when I was 12, I saw Bill Cosby himself.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I knew I wanted to be a comedian, but I had no idea how to even begin.
Were you goofy, though? Like, were you making people laugh? Like,
no, actually, I was completely unfunny. Everyone thought I was an asshole. I would try to be funny, and I would come across sounding like a jerk.
So this is like an exercise of effort.
A great deal of effort.
I've always liked like the one-liner comedians.
Yeah.
Because those,
which I have a lot of those.
Yeah, but the guys that do one-liners are the guys that are working incredibly hard.
Yeah.
To make people laugh. I like Dane Cook because a lot of people like Dane Cook. I respect the fact that he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
But that is just in him, like to do a weird thing where he's walking across a stage, you know, and like flipping out and spilling water all over himself. That's like just ability. That's just talent that he has. But like a guy that puts together one-liners, like that's hard work. Like that is just, that ain't easy.
Yeah, and if the Mitch Hedberg, Stephen Wright.
Exactly.
Nate
Fallon, you know, local
Nate,
guy. Yeah. And like I was listening to Hannibal Buress today, and I realized Hannibal Buress is kind of like, he's like Mitch Hedberg and somebody else that's more a naturally just funny guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of, you know, brings those two things together because he has a lot of one-liner type things, and his delivery sounds a little bit like Mitch Hedberg a little bit too. But then he's also, his flow is a lot looser. He's obviously just a lot cooler. You know, he talks about normal things. He doesn't seem like a weirdo like Mitch Hedberg would come off.
People
you know?
Talk about how Stephen Wright, when he performs, it looks like he's high. You know, when I watch him, he looks like he hasn't slept in 3 days. He just sounds tired to me.
He's been up writing one-liners all night. Yeah.
But you know, I have a lot of one-liners, but I also have the bits that I do. Also, I don't know that I've really see one thing they say you gotta you have to develop a stage persona. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've managed to do that yet, despite the fact that I've been doing this for a really long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if you were to look at all my material, you think it wasn't all written by one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I'll have I have a bunch of one-liners, and then I have a 10-minute bit about how about growing up in Clovis and being around a bunch of racists for most of my childhood.
Yeah. Well, Chris Cruz, when I first started doing it, you know, so long ago, that's sarcasm. He said you have to know what your Keke Gengai is, which is like an anime term, which basically means like the thing that makes you. Like I'm white and I'm a guy that has kids and I've been married and I used to go to church I go to church and I've got a lot of memories of growing up in church.
Yeah.
That's why I use the word used to. And, you know, so it's, if you can embrace that, he said, you know, you can kind of get a character on stage, get your voice a little bit. And that helped me out a ton to say, just talk about who you are and write bits around who you are, which is hard because you might, you know, tick off your mom because you're going to talk about, you know,
or you piss off your girlfriend because you talk about
exactly. And to kind of get back to the offended thing,
I don't think people have the right to be offended for others, and that's one thing that I see a lot is that, you know, I'll do a joke, someone will tell me that they're offended, but the joke wasn't about them or any group that they're associated with.
Right.
You shouldn't make fun of black people like that. I was like, you're a little white lady, you have no right to complain on behalf of blacks.
Right.
You know, and
well, and she might. I mean, that's I get it. People feel guilty, man. They feel very guilty.
Well, and then that's okay, fine. But this sounds heartless, I guess. But that's her problem,
right?
And honestly, that's something that she needs to get over. But you know, one thing I will say is that I'm not gonna satisfy everyone.
Right.
And you know, and you're not going to satisfy everyone. There's always going to be someone who doesn't like your stuff or anyone's. I mean, there are people out there who think Jerry Seinfeld sucks as a comic. Absolutely. And, you know, the vast majority of the population disagrees and thinks he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple people out there who hate him.
Yeah.
And, you know, just you're not going to satisfy everybody. So and I understand that. But I don't think everybody understands that. The everybody, the ones that you're not satisfying need to understand that.
Well, I think what you're using the word understand, and I think understanding is the greatest thing.
Okay, or ever. Accept, maybe?
No. Understanding is the perfect word.
Yeah.
Because I think when you don't understand, that's when you get offended.
Yeah.
Because when the reason people are able to laugh, my opinion, could be wrong,
yeah,
is typically because they're seeing the full 360-degree view of the situation.
No.
Like, you know, me and Kenny Thomas and Byron Campbell barbecuing hot links on his back porch and smoking Dejarum Blacks together.
Yeah.
You know, me in that situation looking at it, it's, you know, I can kind of see it. The third perspective of somebody walking by and seeing Johnny White guy with two black guys barbecuing hot links and noticing that I'm getting a little bit of a black drawl when I talk.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just becoming, you know, the environment, and I just get influenced, and maybe I'm trying to be a little cooler than
you,
I am.
You,
but that's the third.
You do a lot of ethnic voices in your in your routine, and people who do voice comics who do voices in their routine, the ones that I have known have a tendency to start adapting the speech patterns of whoever they're around in conversation.
Right.
My uncle had no Alabama accent when he lived here.
Mm-hmm.
When I went in to visit him back in Anniston when he moved back to Alabama,
yeah,
he had the Alabama accent again.
Right. Of course,
and he'd only been there a couple of months. You know, so you're gonna, whether you intend to or not, you're gonna start adapting what's around you.
Right,
and you do the different voices pretty well, the different accents and stuff. You do them pretty well.
Thank you.
So you probably,
my wife's calling,
have some natural amount of doing it.
Yeah, but I do. I do the voices. Hold on 1 second. Let me take this call. Hey, baby, let me call you right back.
Oh, put her on.
Hey, I'm doing a podcast with Joel. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
We're almost done.
I know they're here. I told them 9:30, 10. I should have just said 10.
All it's right. My fault.
It's Joel's. It's JT's fault. All right, love you. Bye. See, you got. It's all about crowd control. You know, you gotta keep the damage down a little bit. But I blew it. I should have been there at 9:30. Somebody's there to meet me right now. No. So
sorry. All right. Well, you know, we're a little over an hour anyway. So hey, thanks a lot for coming to do the show.
Really appreciate it, guys. Good. Hey, thanks for a DVD copy of UHF.
You're welcome.
Movie.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up with two copies of it. But somehow I end up with two copies, and
one
so
was the backup copy in first case. Yeah, first one went bad.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what? I probably kept the bad one. It's going to go bad. I'm not going to be able to watch it anymore, and I'll have to come over to your. Can I come over and watch
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely.
You call me up. I'm ready to go. You're a generous man. I'll be a generous man.
Awesome. But poop is funny.
Thank you.
You know what? That's going to be what people should put in their email next week if they send an email. Put in the subject poop line, please put poop is funny.
It is funny, and it's universal, and it's something we can all relate to, but
exactly.
I don't know, man. I worry so much about not offending people, and I'm getting to a point where I'm focusing more on what's going to make people laugh as opposed to what's going to hurt people's feelings, you know, as opposed to, you know, how to not offend people. I'm going to focus on how to make them laugh first.
Well, you know, I don't go out of my way to offend people, but I don't go out of my way to not offend people either.
Sure.
If I offend them in my routine, I would have offended them in conversation.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to like me anyway.
Yeah.
But, do either of you guys have anything coming up you want to plug? Kevin, you got any shows coming up?
When are you going to put this out?
Probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I have a show tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Hold on.
So that would be
cutting it close.
No, I'm sorry.
June 14th at 5 p.m.?
June 14th at 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
In Bass Lake. I'm featuring for Joe Klosik.
Oh, cool.
And then Saturday the 15th, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, I'm featuring for... the Joe Klosik is in Bass Lake.
Okay.
In the Lakeview Room. And then Saturday at 8 and 10, I'm opening for Lisa Laundry.
Oh,
so cool. I think I'm saying that right. And that's at the Starving Artist Bistro on Fort Washington in Fresno.
Awesome.
Yeah.
JP, you're going to be teaching history class?
I'm going to be off all summer.
I would like to plug that we're doing the podcast. You know,
Nantucket Avenue. You can find it on iTunes or what's the website of your podcast? Do you have
It's long. Just go. You can go Feed Burner or just search Nantucket Avenue.
I gotta find out from you how you managed to get it into the iTunes store, because I have tried to get mine in the iTunes store and I must be doing something wrong, because they sent me an email back that says the feed was bad.
Huh.
And I mean, people can download my podcast fine. If they go to the website and click on the button, it will open iTunes and automatically subscribe you to it through iTunes.
We had something weird with that early on, I think.
So I'll have to talk to you about that later. But thanks again for coming and doing the show. I'm JT Foreman here with Kevin Tinkin and JP. We were the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week.
Bye.